Hello, hello. Start my timer. Hello, I'm Beth. Welcome to my talk. Today, I'm going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us walk in purity. That's the title of my talk. The Holy Spirit helps us walk in purity. So, what we're going to be looking at today is what is purity? Why should we want a pure heart? And how do we walk in purity? So I'm going to be looking at purity within the context of Psalm 119. If anyone doesn't know, the Psalms are a collection of hymns and prayers that are worshipping God, crying out to God, and asking him for help. And Psalm 119 is actually the longest ever psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. Does anyone here know how many verses are in Psalm 119? There's got to be a Bible nerd in here. No? Nobody? Anyone want to guess? What, did someone say 196, 132? Somewhere in the middle, it's 176. You got the six right. So yeah, it's a really long psalm. And I don't only love it because it's lovely and long, but actually I love it because God really spoke to me through that psalm. So I was at a camp when I was younger, actually the same camp I was talking about earlier, I went to as a youth, as a young person. And I was probably about age 14, maybe 15, and I had really been struggling with lustful thoughts and with the concept of purity. And we were doing a Bible study, and I took out this Bible, this random Bible, and in it was an inscription to somebody. It said something like, "Dear Adam, blah, 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 hope you love this Bible. Read Psalm 119 because it really blessed me." So I was like, you know what, I'll just flick to it. So I flicked to Psalm 119. And I didn't land on the first page, I actually landed on the second page. And if anyone knows Psalm 119, it follows the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And right at the top of the page, it said Beth. And I was like, oh my gosh, God's speaking to me. And right under that, right under the title Beth, which is the title of the second section of the psalm, it said, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." And I was just like, oh my gosh, because it really felt like God saw me in that moment and he was speaking into exactly what I was struggling with and what I was thinking about. So that is why I love Psalm 119, and that is why I'm going to be focusing on purity through the lens of that psalm. So reminder, the title of this talk is The Holy Spirit Helps Us Walk in Purity. Part one, we're going to be looking at what is purity. So what is purity? So purity is the state of being clean or unmixed. So when you've got metal, pure metal, like pure gold, that means there's nothing else in it. There's no other metals in it. There's no dirt. There's no impurities. It's completely pure 24 karat gold. But we can also have a pure heart. So that means a heart that doesn't have any sin, doesn't have any sinful thoughts, and that's really hard to achieve. There's only one person who ever had a completely pure heart, and that was Jesus. Because he was completely perfect. He never sinned. He never even had a sinful thought. He was tempted, but he never sinned. Put your hand up here if you think you have a completely perfect heart. Notice my hand didn't go up either. None of us here, only Jesus. And it can be a bit daunting sometimes to read the Bible, and it tells you to do this, it tells you to do that. And you start to feel a bit daunted thinking, how can I ever match up to Jesus and the life he led? Well, actually, it's really cool because God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows we're never, ever going to be perfect. He knows we're never, ever going to match up to Jesus' life. And that is part of the reason why it's so beautiful that Jesus died to save us. Because he knew that we would never, ever be able to match the sacrifice he made for us. And yet he still died. He still died to save us. That is so beautiful. Yeah, it's so beautiful that he died for us, even though we could never repay that debt. Yeah. And before I prepared for this talk, I didn't realize that there are actually two kinds of purity. This is what I kind of figured out as I was putting this together. So there's a clean slate or a clean heart. So a clean slate is what we call righteousness. A clean slate is what Jesus bought for us when he died. When he died, our slate of all the bad things we've ever done, all our sins, anything bad we've done, was completely wiped clean. That is what Jesus did for us, so that God could look at us and see something completely pure, and we could be close to him. So that is the kind of purity and the kind of righteousness that Jesus bought for us. But actually, every time we ask for forgiveness, we get that again. Every time you ask God for forgiveness, you get a completely blank slate again, and you are pure in God's eyes. And then you have a clean heart, which is walking in purity. So God put us on the right track, but do we stay on the right track? Or do we stray off it? Do we wander? So that's the two kinds of purity. And what I'm going to be looking at today is that second kind, that walking in purity. So the Holy Spirit helps us walk in purity. We've just looked at what purity is. Now we're going to look at why we should want a pure heart. And then we'll finally move on to how we walk in purity. So why should we want a pure heart? There's three reasons. Or there's probably more, but I'm focusing on three reasons. So number one is to live a life that honors and pleases God. God wants us to obey him. He wants us to obey him out of love. And out of love, we want to obey him too. I want each of you to think right now of the person that you love most in the world. Or it can be a couple people. Like literally think right now, who's the person who you love most in the world? Okay? And that person, you want to try your best to love them and please them. If they asked you, oh, please could you not say that kind of thing because that actually hurts me, or please could you do this for me because that would really help. That's what we want to do because we love them. And it's the same with God. Because we love him, we want to please him. We want to obey him. And it's actually, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions about the Christian faith is that we have to follow a list of rules to be saved. Actually, it's the complete other way around. We are saved, we're in a relationship, a beautiful relationship with God, and that is why we want to do all those things that he asks us to. And he asks us to do those because he knows that that's the best life for us. And we want to honor that sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Number two, we want a pure heart because it blesses us. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And what that means is our true selves matter more to God than how we present ourselves. I found a really cool quote by Joyce Meyer about this exact verse, and she said, "Purity of heart is not just about what we do, but who we are. Embrace sincere values and motives, and you will find yourself on the path that leads to seeing God in every moment." And I really love that. I want to be able to see God in every moment. I don't know about you. And there's also Psalm 24:3, which says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Yeah, so that's the second reason we want a pure heart, is because it blesses us. We can stand in God's presence. We can see him more every day. But the third reason is so that God can use us. 2 Timothy 2:20 to 21 says, "In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work." So what I feel like that's saying is God uses those with a pure heart for special purposes. Put your hand up if you want to be used by God for something special. Yeah, most people here, right? We want to be used by God for something special. And special purposes doesn't just mean being a king, like King David. It might mean being a pastor or a missionary, an evangelist or a teacher. Or it could be none of those things. It could be just carrying out a task or a calling that God has given you specifically to do. You can shine God's light to others when you have a pure heart so that they can see the truth about God. They can see God's love. And that is what it talks about in Philippians 2:14-16. It talks about us shining God's light. So that is why we should want a pure heart. The Holy Spirit helps us walk in purity. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on to how we walk in purity. There's a very short answer to this. The short answer is we trust the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. How do we walk in purity? The short answer, we trust the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. So Psalm 119, verse 9, the one that I said right at the very beginning, is, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And when it says young person, it doesn't just mean young person, it also means premium adults, like some of you beautiful people here. And some of you might be thinking, that verse is different to what I said before, because that verse says, we stay on the path of purity by living according to your word. But just now you said, we trust the Holy Spirit. Well, actually, we live according to God's word through the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't live according to God's word on our own. We literally can't do it. We need God to help us. Isaiah 30, 21 is a really beautiful verse. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That was Isaiah 30, 21. It's just saying that the Holy Spirit will guide us. We'll hear almost a little voice in the back of your mind saying, don't do that, or do this instead. That's the Holy Spirit helping us. But with the Holy Spirit helping us, we need to play our part. You can't be helped if you just stand there and do nothing. You have to play your part and allow him to help you. So I'm going to break down how we live according to God's word into five parts. So how do we live according to God's word? Number one, you have to read God's word. You have to read it and you have to, well, you don't have to, but it's good to memorize it. We can only live according to God's word if you know it, right? If you read it. That's why it's so important that we read the Bible, because then we can find out more about God and how he wants us to live. So verse 11 of Psalm 119 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's one of my favorite verses ever. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what I think David is saying there is he's actually memorized scriptures from God's word, and he's stored them in his heart. He's remembered them so that he does not sin, so that he stays pure and he walks in purity. Remembering what God says to do and memorizing scripture can help us to be pure and not to sin. Number two, we speak out God's word. Verse 13 of Psalm 119 says, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Speaking scripture is powerful. It's really powerful. It can help us remember God's word, and it can also help us to fight temptation. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And verse 17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that's literally our weapon. Everything else is defense. We have like your breastplate, which is defense, your helmet is defense, your shield, defense. But your sword, the attack, that is the word of God. That means God's literally saying, use my word to fight temptation, to fight the devil. And Jesus did that when he was in the wilderness. I don't know if any of you know the story of when Jesus was in the wilderness, but when the devil tempted him, he spoke out with scripture. He said, it is written. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is how he fought temptation and he didn't sin. That's how he stayed pure in that moment. If you wanted to know, that was from Matthew 4, verses 3 to 4. Okay, number three, we meditate on scripture. Verse 15 of Psalm 119 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. So what does meditating mean? Meditating just means thinking about it. It just means mulling it over in your mind. You can also meditate on God's word by creating scripture, by singing songs, by writing it down, by journaling, by praying. Like, there's no one way to meditate on God's word. It can be whatever works for you. And I think that's the really beautiful part about our relationships with God, is it can look individual for each of us, however we want to seek him, however we want to meditate on his word. And what that does, meditating on God's word, is it gives us understanding. It helps us to really grapple with things and think about them and understand. It helps us to remember God's word, and it allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us through those moments. We're much more likely to follow something if we understand it. If someone came straight up to you and was like, oh, I want you to jump off a cliff, you'd be like, well, no, I don't understand why you're asking me to do that. But if they actually said, yeah, there's a 10-ton dragon chasing after you, you might be like, okay, fair enough, that does look like the better choice. So yeah, we're much more likely to follow God if we understand. Number four, I'm getting to the end now. Number four, we fix our eyes on his ways. So verse 15, which I just read, the first part says, I will meditate on your precepts. And then it says, and fix my eyes on your ways. When you're driving, you can't drive well and stay on track if you don't fix your eyes on the road. It's really important. And it's the same with our path to Jesus. We can't stay on track if we don't fix our eyes on him. And not only do we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, we need to also be careful what our eyes are looking at. So the things that you watch, the things that you read, the things you listen to, they impact your thoughts. And your thoughts are kind of your heart, the soul of your being. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 4:23. So we have to guard our heart from, like, guard our heart with the things that we're watching, the things that we're reading, the things we're listening to. Because if our heart is tainted, then the things that we do, the things that come out of our heart, will be tainted as well, and we won't be pure. Part five, the final thing in living according to God's word is delighting in God's word. Verse 16 of Psalm 119 says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your ways. We're much more likely to follow something if we love it. God's word is a part of who God is, just like the things that we say to people is kind of a part of who we are. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That can be kind of confusing if that's the first time you've heard it. But it's saying that God's word is who he is. And it's actually talking about Jesus. Jesus was the word, and he was with God at the beginning, and he is God. So if God's word is God, then if we love God, we also love his word. So we can gain a love for God's word by gaining a love for God. And how do we love God? Well, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. All the times that I read that verse, I always thought it meant we love other people because he first loved us. And it does kind of mean that. But I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about the fact that we can only love God by first accepting his love for us. And that kind of blew my mind because I just hadn't looked at it that way. They were saying that you actually have to accept God's love first. You can't just try and love God first. You have to accept his love, accept what he did for you, accept that he died on the cross to save you in order to love him back. So even just meditating on God's love for you and what he did for you, that will help you to delight in his word. That will help you to follow his word. So, in summary, today we looked at how the Holy Spirit helps us walk in purity. We looked at what is purity. There's two kinds. We have a clean slate that we have because Jesus died for us. And we have a clean heart, which is having pure thoughts and actions. We looked at why should we want a pure heart? We should want a pure heart to honor God because it blesses us and so that God can use us. And we also looked at how do we walk in purity? By living according to God's word, by reading it, by memorizing it, by speaking it out, by fixing our eyes on it, by delighting in it. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. If you read the rest of Psalm 119, which I'd really encourage you to do because it's really cool, David is just calling out to God to help him. Almost every single verse is David saying, help me to remember your word. Like, teach me your statutes. Teach me this. Help me with this. And we can do that. We can pray. We can ask God to help us because we can't do it on our own. So if there's one thing you take away from this talk, it's that the Holy Spirit will help you walk in purity if you only let him. So that's the end of my talk, but I did want to say, if any of that really spoke to you, if maybe you're in a similar season of struggling with lustful thoughts, or purity doesn't just mean lustful thoughts, it can be anything, any kind of sinful thought, and you really want to change, you really want God to guide you in purity, come get prayer. Come find me. Come find Martin or Harvey or any of the other church leadership and come seek prayer. Come stand in any space of the room. We're thinking maybe the back. Did you say the back? yeah, come stand and hopefully one of us will find you. If no one comes to find you, please grab someone. And also, if you've just never really encountered God's love before, you've never really felt what it is to be loved by him, you've never understood that, you've never said, God, I accept your love, or maybe you want a fresh revelation of God's love for you, then also come get prayer. Thank you.